This is Victrios.
When we do the right thing as a church, we need to examine ourselves as an individual. You examine yourself as a family. We examine ourselves. So self-examination is recommended. Scripture says so. Number two, self-examination is also recommended so that you and I might know our true state. What is your true state? As a family, what is our true state? As a church, what is our true state? Self-examination helps us to examine our true state, to know our true state, where we are as opposed to where we should be. What we are doing as opposed to what we should be doing. What we have as opposed to what we should have. All of these are very important. Not only does the Word of God emphasize the place of self-examination, but it also helps us to know our true state. I mean, many of us have heard about people who just died suddenly. And the reason why such things happen is because such people never really examine themselves to know their true state. They assume they are healthy when they are not. Self-examination is so important. So important. In whatever area you and I need to examine ourselves, it's so important. The Bible recommends it, and self-examination also helps us to know our true state. Number three reason why we need to examine ourselves, it is a discipline that was practiced by people in the Bible. Very many people practiced it. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 verse 59, I thought on my ways. If you read Psalm 77 verse 6, you see David practicing self-examination. So it was practiced by the patriarchs before us. And the Word of God encouraged us that we should follow their faith. The Word of God encouraged that their faith is worth following. Their example is worth following. Their example is worth imitating. Self-examination was practiced by the patriarchs before us. Number four, reason why we need to practice self-examination is so that we may know what is wrong, with us. When something is supposed to happen and it don't happen, now it's only self-examination that will tell you what is wrong. When a church is supposed to grow and a church does not grow, it's self-examination that tells you what is wrong. Okay? When a child is supposed to grow and be talking, and the child is not growing and not talking, now you need to examine that child by taking the child to the hospital. So it helps us identify what may be wrong. What is wrong? You know, because many people just live their lives and continue. And they really never stop to look and listen. They never stop to examine themselves. It's recommended by the scriptures. Those before us practiced it. It's an example worthy to be followed. It's also good because it helps us know our state. And self-examination also helps us to discover what may be wrong. I remember years ago as a young pastor, I was pastoring this church in Ilorin. To cross 200 was an issue. We'll be 180 this week, we'll be 202 next week, we'll be 204, then we'll come back to 190, and then we even come back to 165. And I started saying this going forward and backward is not normal. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18 says, the path of the righteous is like a shining light, shining more and more to a perfect day. But why is it that we are showing? We are going forward, we're coming back, and so on and so forth. And I had to spend some 3 days away in a retreat to examine, why are these things this way? Something is wrong here. And when I did that, I was able to put my finger on what happened. And I was able to correct everything in 2 weeks, and the church started growing steadily, without having to go forward and backward anymore. So self-examination helps us to identify what may be wrong. Let me give you one more here. Another thing self-examination helps you to do is that after you identify what is wrong, then it helps you to make adjustments. Because when I identified what was wrong through self-examination, I was now able to make adjustments. The psalmist says it in Psalm 119 verse 59. He said, I thought of my ways and I turned my feet. See that? I thought of my ways, then I turned my feet to your testimonies. And that's what Lamentations 3:40 says. He said, let us try, let us examine our ways, and let us return to God. Let us return to God. If you are not making progress in your profession, in your career, you need to examine and say, why is it that it seems that I'm not making progress? Whenever after you examine yourself, you probably locate. Probably it's my mindset. Probably my lack of enough qualification. Probably it's the way I apply. Probably it's the sector where I'm working. And when you know what is wrong, then you're now able to make adjustments. Now, having said that, let me move on. There is an area which I want to look at today when it comes to self-examination. There is an area which I want us to look at today. As a person, as a family, and as a church, there is an area of self-examination that is very crucial. You know, no matter how long you've been married, no matter how long you've been in that career, no matter how long you've been in a country, no matter how long you've been doing something, one area of self-examination is by asking yourself a simple question: in what direction am I really moving? In what direction am I moving? In what direction am I moving? In what direction am I moving with my marriage? In what direction am I moving with the vision and the dreams God have given me? In what direction am I moving with my attitude? In what direction are we moving as a church? In what direction am I moving? You need to stop, look at it, and listen and say, look, in what direction am I moving? You see, because it's something that should be a concern to you. Because whether you know it or not, others are concerned about it. And whether you know it or not, even God is concerned about it. And you need to stop and say, in what direction am I moving? In what direction am I moving? I'm 40 years old, I'm 30 years old, I'm 35 years old, I'm 25 years old. In what direction am I moving? The path which I am now, does it lead to destiny? The path where my feet is now, does it lead to growth? In what direction are we moving as a church? Because whether you know it or not, there are paths to dwell in and there are paths not to dwell in. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 6:16, he said, ask for the old path, which is the good way, and walk in it. We cannot depend on God to always, as it were, just do things for us when we ourselves have not come to realize that we're on the wrong path. I thought on my ways, then I turned my feet. Let us try, let us examine our ways, let us return. So the question you are going to ask tonight, I want us to answer that question, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. In what direction are we moving? In what direction are we moving? I want to look about 7 different directions in which you can be moving as a person, in which you can be moving as a family, in which you can be moving as a church. In what direction are we moving? Remember, what you do can get in your way, or it can work for you. What you do can get in the way of God, or it can work for God. What you do can work against the devil or work for the devil. If you don't examine yourself from time to time, you give an advantage to the devil. Ephesians 4:27 says, let Satan should have an advantage of us. I mean, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, let Satan should have an advantage of us who are not ignorant of his devices. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. If you don't examine yourself from time to time, you give the devil an upper hold over you. You just grow suddenly and you don't even know what you've done with your life. That is one thing I do. Every week, I examine myself. Every month, I examine myself. Every year, at the end of every year, I go away alone for a week and all I'm doing is examining myself. Did I get it right? Did I do it right? Did I get the timing correct? Did I make the necessary effort? Did I make the necessary investment? Did I make the necessary saving? Did I work hard enough? Was I hearing from God and following his instruction? All of these are very important. So we want to look at the various directions in which people are moving. This church was started probably about 5 years ago. Am I right? 3 years ago. Now, since we started 3 years ago, there must have been a direction which we are moving. And I want us to look at it tonight. In what direction are we moving? Since you've been around here in the United States, you've been moving in a particular direction. Whether you know it or not. I mean, you've been moving in a particular direction. But you may never have sought it and looked at it closely and say, okay, in what direction am I moving? so that when you know what it is, you now make the adjustments that are very necessary. Okay. The first direction in which people move is what I call they do not move at all. Suffering from stagnation. A church can suffer from stagnation. Your career can suffer stagnation. Your marriage can suffer stagnation. In other words, your marriage may not be getting better, may not be getting worse. It's just there. To be stagnant means to be static. It means to be still. It means there is no visible evidence of perceptible alteration of any type. As it was, so is it now. Stagnation. That is the direction in which some churches are. One thing I usually do is that I go to churches from year to year. There are some churches that have been going in the last 23 years, every year, in the last 25 years, the last 18 years, in the last 15 years, the last 7 years. And one thing I closely observe is, in what direction is this church moving? When I go 3 years in a row and I cannot see that the church is moving in any obviously positive direction, I stop going. Now, I stop going, but I always tell the person that the reason why I stop coming is because I cannot see the definite direction in which you are moving that leads to the place where you are going. So it's possible to be static. It's possible for a relationship to be static. It's possible for your career to be static. You've been working at the same job for 5 years. In what direction are you going? Are you going in the direction of greater proficiency and efficiency? Are you going in the direction of eventually being able to be independent financially? In what direction am I moving? So the first direction is that no movement at all. Static, still, stagnant. In other words, you're not moving at all. And it happens. It happens. I've seen churches that are like that. I've seen people who careers are like that. I've seen people who financially are like that. What they could not afford last year, they can still not afford now. How they could not spend 10 years ago is still how they could not spend now. They have not gotten better financially. They have just been static. As it was in the beginning, so is it now. So forevermore, what without end? So the question is, in what direction are we moving? Are we static? Am I static? Is my career static? Am I static financially? Is our relationship static? Has it been in any way better? Has there been an improvement? Is there been anything better than what it was? In what direction am I moving? Number two direction in which people move and organizations move is that they move in circle. They move in circle. If you ever have an opportunity of going to a bookshop, I want to encourage you to buy a map of the movement of the children of Israel for 40 years. The trip from Egypt to the promised land, by the way they were going, should have taken them 14 days trekking. But it turned to 40 years. Now, how can a trip of 14 days turn to 40 years? Because of the direction in which you are moving. You discover that you are just circling like this. You are moving in circles. Do you know it's possible to be moving in circles? Maritally, you have a relationship. It breaks down. Say, your heart heal for a while. Then you start another one, then it goes on for 2 years, then it breaks down again for one reason or the other, and then you heal for a while, then you start another one again, and that is going around in circles. You can be going around in circles professionally. You've done the same exam about 4 or 5 times. If you do an exam 4 or 5 times the same way, you get the same result. You could be going around in circles. I call it activity without accomplishment. You may be going around the same thing. The same thing of the same thing is being repeated. Moving in circles. Doing the same thing again and again and again. Again and again, failing at the same thing. Doing an exam, failing it. Then waiting again for the next time to do it. Do it again, then fail it. Then wait again for the next time. Do it again and fail it. I know people who have moved like that. Moved in circles for years. I call it moving along the same direction in which you have always moved. You are still moving along the same direction. If you keep doing things the same way, you keep getting the same result. A church can be moving in circles. Just moving in circles. Just moving in circles. Just moving in circles. Trying to get this, when they get it, it falls through. Try to get it again, it falls through. This one again, it falls through. That one again, it falls through. So that is the second direction which people move. The children of Israel movements from Egypt to the promised land is a classical example of somebody moving around in circles. Moving around in circles. Moving around in circles. I know a church in Lagos. They have raised money for building 8 times. They still don't occupy a building that is theirs. The last time I was there and the pastor says, please, are you help us raise money? I said, I'm not going to have anything moving around in circles. After 8 years of raising money for the same thing, you still have not acquired it. Then when are you going to acquire it? In what direction are we moving? My career, in what direction am I moving? Am I moving around in circles? There are some marriages that since they got married 17 years ago till last week, I'm still settling the same quarrel. That's a relationship that's not going anywhere. Moving around in circles. So I had to ask them last week, I said, I don't know when this will be over. Because when I met you guys about 18 years ago, it was still the same marriage and these same issues. There's nothing that has changed. Moving around in circles. The same thing, they fight, they settle it, they fight again, they settle it, they fight. And it's the same thing, the same issues, the same problems. And I said to myself, in what direction are you moving in this relationship? In what direction? It's not getting weaker, nor is it getting stronger. It's just going around in circles again and again and again and again. And it's the same issue, the same issues that we're having to deal with. So we need to ask ourselves, in what direction are we moving? What direction am I moving? Am I still having to battle with the same problem, the same problem, the same problem, the same problem, the same issues, the same thing, the same thing? It's like you have not overcome it yet. It has not overcome you. You have just been there for each other. Number three, in what direction are we moving? The third direction in which people move is what I call, they move in the direction that everybody is moving. They follow the multitude. Now, not two persons are expected to have the same destiny. And following the multitude is not the direction in which any church or any marriage or any home or any individual should move. Exodus 23 verse 2, thou shalt not follow a multitude. Whether you know it or not, there is a straight path God expects you to make for your feet. Psalm 37 verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by God, and he delights in his ways. There are people, they're always following that's what everybody's doing. And I always say, do you understand the fact that you are not everybody? And where everybody's going is not where you're going? Let me say this to you. This church has a direction according to God's predetermined counsel along which you should move. It's a redeemed church. And I've met so many redeemed churches all over the world. There is no big redeemed church anywhere in the world I have not been. And I've seen one thing, and that is all of them are moving in various directions. All of them are getting certain things done. And they are moving there. A church has a destiny. Anything that has a beginning surely has an end. So don't move in the direction where everybody is doing this, everybody is doing that. If you are doing what everybody is doing, then you are nobody. But you are somebody. And so do not follow a multitude. No two families are the same. And you should not use a direction in which a particular family is moving to gauge the direction in which your own family should move. You should not use somebody else's career to gauge the direction in which your own career should go. You should not use anybody's compass to chart your own light in destiny. As our faces are different, so are we different. And God has various things for each and every one of us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. You, actually the word you here means individually. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. To give you an expected end. Some other translation says. So in what direction are we moving? Are we following the multitude or are we charting the course? According to God's determined counsel for us. I'm from a family of 13 children. And there are no two of us who are following the same direction. two of us. There are not two of us who are following the same direction. I have a senior brother who was instrumental in leading me to Christ. He has stayed in Ibadan. I always stayed in Ibadan. He does not travel around the way I do. I have another senior brother who is a medical doctor. He has stayed in UCH since he started, finished his medical, whatever. He's now a professor of cardiothoracic surgery in UCH. I have a junior sister behind me. All she has done all her life is print, and that's what she does. So if everybody is following everybody, you will never be an original, though God wants you to be an original, not a copy. So as a church, in what direction are we moving? Are we still copying some churches? Are we taking what some church do as the best expression of what a church should be? No. We are peculiar. We are unique. We are who we are by the grace of God. And the grace of God that is working for others will work in us differently as well. So some people, in what direction are they moving? In circle. Some people, in what direction are they moving? Moving in the direction that other people are moving. Some people, in what direction are they moving? They are not moving at all. They are not moving at all. They have been in the same spot for years. Number four, in what direction are we moving? The fourth direction in which some people move is what I call they wander, they roam. They are not moving in any definite direction. They are wandering, they are roaming. They are here today, there tomorrow. They are putting their hand in just anything that comes. I have a friend in the state of Maryland. In the last 7 years, he has done 12 different kind of businesses. He's a jack of all trades. He's a master of none. Where each of us are going in life is not far. But many times there are so many detours. In what direction are you moving as a church? Some churches don't have something definite they focus on. I've been in the ministry for 35, 36 years. My message has been clear from beginning till now. My message is precise. My focus is sharp. God told me, he said, if you focus on what I expect to focus on, he said, you will soon become the focus. He said, you are supposed to be known for something, so focus on it. And that's what I've done all my life. I don't venture into other men's line of things. There was a time I was venturing into other men's line of things. And God told me, if you continue doing that, you lose your ability to be yourself. But some people wonder. They have done so many businesses. This friend of mine in Maryland, there was a time he was importing and exporting cars. Then later on, he went into food business. Then later on, he went into clothing business. Then later on, he went into consulting IT. Then later on, he went into school. He has virtually done everything. But you know what? He's still broke. He's still broke. I was still talking to him the last time. He was still asking me for $100. Somebody who's been in the U.S. since 1986. Now, I think about it. I said, and the problem is, he has not been going in any definite direction. He's been wandering. You know, wander? Try this today, try that tomorrow. There are some churches I've gone. This time I go there, it's Evangelism Unlimited. Then the next time, Deliverance Unlimited. Then the next time, it is Missions Unlimited. And I said to myself, what are you going to be known for? In what direction are you moving? Are you wandering? The word wandering or roaming about is the word that is used to describe a blind man without a guide. Is the word that is used to define a sheep, the direction in which a sheep moves. A sheep that is lost. In what direction are you moving? Wandering. Proverbs 21:16 says, he that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. So in what direction are you moving? There are so many directions available. Circumstances and situations and people could put pressure on us to try to move us in various directions. But in what direction should you be moving? Are you wandering aimlessly? In your career, are you wandering aimlessly? I know some people in IT who have done everything you can think of in IT. Until today, there is still nothing that is precise that they are doing. In what direction are you moving? In what direction are you moving? The Bible says you have to take your root downward if you are going to bear fruit upward. Isaiah 37, 31. The remnant of Judah shall yet take their root downward and bear their fruit upward. You have to go down before you can go up. So in what direction are you moving? Some people are wandering about, just wandering about, roaming. The Bible said in Proverbs 27, verse 8, as a bird that wanders out of his nest, so is a man that wanders out of his place. Directional guide, though, is so important. In what direction am I moving? You need to sit down and think and look closely. With my attitude, what direction am I moving? With my marriage, with my career, with my relationships, in what direction am I moving? Am I just wondering? There are people who have been going from church to church to church to church to church to church. I know a man in Lagos. In 26 years that I've known him, he has never been a member of a church. I've seen him in so many churches, and I said, are you here now? Say, here is this, we have fellowship now. Are you here now? And if you are wondering like that, a rolling stone gather no more. There's no way you can mature and grow up and be built up. The Bible said they that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. How can you flourish in a place where you have refused to be planted? So the big question you need to ask yourself is, in what direction am I moving? As a church, 3 years we have been going in one direction, are we moving? Are we just trying this and trying that? And when a church begins to move from one location to the other, you don't know. The pain is that you lose members in the process. We must have this. The Sabbath talks about, I have set the Lord before me. He's on my right hand. Therefore, I will not be moved. The most stable and established and grounded you are. I always say this. Churches should not move more than 3 times before you get your resting place. Even God in the wilderness. God has always had a house. But it came to a point where he said, look, okay, please, Solomon, build me a temple. I want to rest. I want a place of rest. In what direction? So when a church, I always tell churches, the moment you start, begin a building fund and begin to ask prophetically, where are we destined to be? For those of you who have ever been in Ilorin, you know about Ilorin. When we started our ministry, it started in my house. And the first thing we identified was this: God, where do you want us to be located in this city? If God wants us in a place, he will make a place for us. He said, I go to prepare a place. So we started praying. We moved only 2 times. We moved from my house. Somebody gave us a free building somewhere. So we went and occupied that one. From that place, I told her, I said, I'm not going to move again. Except one more move. And that is why over the years, we have conserved our members. We have been able to keep our members. We identify where we are supposed to be. So after 3-4 days, we came together, we discussed. And the conclusion is that God wants us to be in Tanke. So we went to Tanke. When we went to Tanke, not many people were in Tanke. But that was where God said we should be. So we were on this side of the road for a while. And then God provided a place on the other side of the road. And that's where we are. And that's the place where we have a massive auditorium, fully air-conditioned. So we don't lose our people. The people we have always had have already been added onto. Because if you move from 10 kilometers away to 5, not everybody will follow you. Not everybody will go with you. You may acquire new people in the environment, but you may not be able to keep the people that you've... So when we now started setting up satellite churches, then that became something more solid. But we had to have a place where we're going to be planted. So the less movement, the better you can conserve the gain of your effort. In what direction are we moving? Are we just wondering about? I know a church that grew up to about 500 in Lord. When they moved from one end of the city, they fell from 500 to about 120 people. They now had to start evangelism and membership poaching from other churches. They didn't have to do that. God has a place. Isaiah 30, 21 said, that shall hear a voice behind you say, this is the way, walk in it. So in what direction am I moving? Your career does not have to be complicated. You need to ask God, which area of this IT should I be? What should I do? I'm a doctor, what should I do? I'm a pharmacist, what should I do? God has a plan for our lives. Our lives are not planless. Before I formed you, I knew you. Before I brought you forth, he said, I ordained you for something definite. And my direction should be towards that thing, not away from it. But at times when we don't know, we move away from it. Psalm 82, verse 5 and 6. He said, they know none other do they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth, their lives is out of course. But God will always tell us the direction which the movie will ask him. Say, you will hear the voice behind you saying, this is the way, not one of the ways. Walk in it. I have lived in London for 47 years. I could live anywhere in the world. When I knew that God had come into the ministry, I went to God. I said, where should I live? Where do you want me to be planted? And God says, be planted in London. And from Ilorin, people have seduced me. There will be seduction. Some people seduced me in America here. 1996, when I came, I went to a friend of mine, a bishop, big bishop in Philadelphia. He took me to his lawyer. In those days, it was not even difficult. When we got to the lawyer, he prepared all the documents. He said, sign. I looked at the document for a while. I took it. I said, look, can I wait till tomorrow? He said, yes. I went. I stayed in the hotel and I came. I said, no, I'm not going to sign. He said, why? I said, because God said I should be in Ilorin, and that from Ilorin, he's going to take me to all the world. The bishop laughed. He said, from Ilorin, the one that I came. I said, yes. He said, you're going to go to the world. I said, yes. But I've lived there, and from there, I've gone to 126 countries. I could live anywhere I want to live, but why did I not? Because I must be in the place where God wants me to. It's only in that way I will move in the direction he wants me to. Let me give you two more here. How many have I given you now? Number five. In what direction are we moving? Another direction which people move is that they move backward. Do you know it's possible to move backward in your career? Jobs you never used to apply for before, they're not the one you are believing God for. One of our sisters came to me and he told me, he said, sir, something has happened to me. I said, what? He said, up till about 3 years ago, only single brothers talked to me. He said, but in the last 3 years, single brothers don't talk to me anymore. He said, only married people talk to me. Ah, I said, you are depreciated in value. The Bible talks about moving backward. Jeremiah 7:24, it says they have moved backward instead of forward. It's possible to move backward. And there are people who are moving backward. Moving backward. In the Bible, you remember there is a man known as Balaam. In Numbers 22, 23, 24, he was a prophet. But by the time he died, in the book of Joshua, chapter 13, verse 22, Balaam had become a soothsayer. Somebody who was a prophet had become a soothsayer. That is moving backward. Jeremiah 15, verse 6 says, and they have moved backward instead of forward. The church in Galatia moved backward. Apostle Paul was talking to them in Galatians 3:3. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, have you begun in the spirit? Are you not perfected in the flesh? They started in the spirit, they are not perfected in the flesh. Perfected in the flesh. The church, Paul was speaking to them in Galatians 5:7. He said, you did wrong well, who did hinder you? They have gone backward instead of forward. That's what we call backsliding. A church could move backward. A building you would never consider 10 years ago, you begin to consider it. Things you will never do 10 years ago, you begin to do it. Backward. Backward is possible too. Churches you never consider when they invite you 10 years ago, you now go there. You believe God for them to invite you. That is backward movement. It's a degenerating state when you move backward. So the point is this. Are we moving backward in our relationships? Are we moving backward? I know churches that used to have three services, they're not having one. And it's not because the building is big. It's because those services died on their own accord. The services died. People are not coming anymore. So they had to reduce it. I know churches that used to have two midweek services. When I say two midweek services, 4 to 6, that's the first midweek service. The second one, 7 to 9. Now they don't even have midweek services again. That is backward movement. Backward movement. Are we moving backward financially? Because it's possible to move backwards financially. The earnings of one person can become the earnings of both of you as a result of no career development. And your qualifications have become obsolete and irrelevant. And the necessary experience is probably not under your belt. So it's possible to move backward. Issues that never used to cause problems in those days, they are now issues that are causing problems in the marriage. The marriage has moved backward. It never used to be an issue who lives with you in those days. I mean, 2-3 people used to live with you, but now for someone to even stay overnight is an issue. I was talking to a couple recently. What was it that started their fight? Toothpaste. Toothpaste. So I asked them, I said, think of it 10 years ago. Would you fight because of toothpaste? I said, we wouldn't. I said, but why are you doing that now? The relationship has depreciated. Every song is an insult. Every answer is disrespect. It never used to be like that. You did wrong. Well, who did hinder you? In what direction are you moving? Number 6. The 6th direction in which people move, listen to this, is that they move forward. That is the direction of progress. Gaining grounds, making headway. And that's a good direction to move. To move forward. Here, the children of Israel came to a point where there was going to be a direction choice. And God said to them, go forward. The message I have for you as a church is, go forward. Hebrews 13:14. It says, for here have we no continuing city, seek another one to come. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by fight. Some of you need to go forward with your career. Your career, you need to go forward with it. You need to go forward with your relationship. You need to go forward with the vision and the dreams God has put in your heart. You need to give feet to the vision of this church. We need to go forward with it. We've been thinking, we've been planning. Enough of thinking or planning. Go. Move. Go forward. I'm going to give you some reasons why we need to go forward. But before I do that, let me give you the 7th direction which people move. The 7th direction which people move is that they move forward, but not at the rate, at the speed, and the capacity at which they should be moving. And that's not good enough. You move forward, yes, but not at the rate, capacity, that you can move. If a car can ride for 100 kilometers per hour on the expressway, why will you be going for 30 kilometers per hour? Go forward, yes, but not at the speed that they have capacity to go. Go forward, yes, with my career, but you are not fully enjoying the potential you carry. You're not. I met a man in England who has been a school teacher for 18 years. And I looked at him, I said, I pity you. And he said, I've been promoted, teacher grade 1, teacher this, teacher grade 3, teacher grade. I said to him, I said, do you, I know, have capacity for more? You need to acquire another degree and then seek for another appointment, no longer in a secondary school, in a university. You need to be a specialist. You need to be a consultant. I encouraged him. He went for a degree 1 year, finished. Today he's earning almost times 4 the income, but he spent 18 years on the same spot. It's one thing to go forward. It's nothing to be going forward at the speed and based on the capacity you carry. Many of you here have more in you than you are living for. A church can have capacity much more for what it has, it can do, than what it is doing. I've done that all over the world. Encourage churches. You can do more. You can break limits. You can exceed boundaries. You can cross the line. You can do this. You can acquire a building. You can break out on the right. You can break out on the left. You can increase. You can improve. You can do this. You can do this. It's one thing to be going forward. It's another thing to go forward, but not at the speed at which you have capacity for. But before people can even go at the capacity, the first thing is go forward first. Go forward first. That's what God told Israel. Israel got to a particular place. There were physical oppositions. There will always be. Before them, the Red Sea, behind them. There will never be a time when there will be no opposition to progress. You will never get to a place where it will be that everything will happen with ease. Except it's not in this world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:9, he said, a door effectual was opened unto me. He said, but there are many adversaries. But your adversaries are not your problems. Because he has given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And all the paths of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you. Luke chapter 10:19. Isaiah 54:17. He said, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you condemn. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. You know, in those days when we started our ministry in Ilorin, they say, Ilorin is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. It's an Islamic stronghold. They gave us the impression churches don't grow there. The tank, when we went to Tanke, one pastor came to my house and said, you went to Tanke? I said, yes. That's the place God said we should go. Today he has joined us in Tanke. The piece of land that his church is built on, I was one who gave it to him. Because when we got there, one piece of land was 1,500 naira. Today, the same piece of land is 1.5 million. So before people woke up, we bought the whole place. We bought the whole place. Because we are moving in the direction God told us. When God told us to move forward to Tanke, it wasn't easy. We had no finances. We had opposition of Islamic stronghold. Those Islamic people today are our best friends. When I did my 60th birthday last December, they came with their turban. They gave me an award. They celebrated me specially. The secretary of the association of the entire Tanke community, Muslim community, gave a speech for 45 minutes. All of them stood up, old and young, clapping for me. And they gave me a cow. So what am I saying? When you move forward, you attract attention. When you move forward, destiny waits. The land that flows with milk and honey. You won't enter that land without a fight. So, thus saith the Lord to you, go forward. That's what I'm here to tell you. Go forward. Some of you need to go forward with your career. You're still thinking and planning. 2 years, 3 years, you're still thinking and planning. How long will you plan for? Where I come from, they say, if you use 3 years to lay the foundation of madness, for how long will you be mad? Go forward. You've had that thought. You have had that imagination. You've had the idea. You've had the concept. Put feet to it. Lay your hand on it. Put your hand on the plow. Go forward with it. Go forward with it. Carry it out. Execute it. Implement it. Go forward with it. Go forward aggressively with it. You've been praying and planning. God told you that. Stop praying. Stop crying. That's enough. I'm going to give you 7 reasons why you need to go forward. And then I will tie up the message. I can continue. I will continue tomorrow. Something which is a build up to this one. Why should I go forward? You have been having this idea. I think I need to go to a school of sound engineering. I need to go to a school of learning about media. I need to acquire instruction about marketing, digital marketing. I need to start a business. I need to open an African store. I need to start a music school. Now, these are wonderful ideas. Those are the things that move the world. But go forward with it. That's the difference. The sea will not open until you go forward. It's there. It looks like an opposition. But by the time your feet touch it, it will open up. You will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Jeremiah 6:16 says, but my people said, no, they will not go there. So thus said the Lord, go forward. Go forward. As a church, go forward. Get a building, good one, big one, in the place where God says you belong. Then have an expression. The church we have today, the auditorium, was just 1,500 when we moved into it. Today, the place is filled twice or suddenly. But it was where we made the effort to go forward. When we started the building project, it was 6 million we had in our account. God said, go ahead and build. I said, 6 million. He said, go ahead and build. The 6 million we had could only build the foundation. How did the other money come? It was when we went forward. On a single day, a man came that I've never seen before. He gave me a check of 100 million naira. A man I have never seen. Since that time till today, I don't even know where he is. He came from Abuja. I said, for 21 days, God had been on his case. He said, write this check. Take it to so and so. I have an assignment for him there. So we went forward. The man came at a point in time when there was nothing more to do. God says, go forward. That's the instruction tonight. Job said in Job 23:8, everywhere I looked, I could not perceive him. He said, but I will go forward. I can't perceive him. This is not just a message. It's an instruction. Why should I go forward? I'll give you several reasons why you need to do so. And receive it from my mouth like the word of a prophet. I'm telling you, the truth, I lie not, my heart, bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. God said, I should tell you, church, go forward. Go forward. The first reason why you need to go forward is because it's a command that is coming from God. Proverbs 30:13, he that despises the word shall be destroyed. He that hearken to the commandment shall be rewarded. Don't look at your frailty. Don't look at your inability. Your weakness is made perfect in his own strength. Isaiah 40:29. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, increase their strength. Nobody has ever had all the resources they need to start anything God wants them to finish. Faith is a currency. Spend it. Hold fast to the word of God. Hosea 14:2. He said, take with you words and turn to God. Psalm 89 verse 34, my covenant will I not break, neither will I take back the words that are proceeded out of my mouth. One of my sons came to me in the house in London. He said, sir, we saw a building. I always encourage churches. One of the main things, until you have a building that belongs to you, you're in fellowship. You're in fellowship. Church is a family. You need to have a place where you are rooted, grounded, then you can build up. Grounded and rooted, then you build up. So he came to me. He said, we have seen a building. There were 30 of them. I went there and I said, is this your said there? I said, get a building. There were 30 of them. So they saw this building that they loved. £1 million. It's a figure. God says in Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. It's a figure. You are God. You are not just big. You are not just large. You are a great God. You are big, 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 big. You are like. You are a great. If he is God and we are his church, and this is his house, do you think he wants to, he doesn't want us to have a decent place? Go forward. The guy received this word from my mouth. He went and told the church. Say, my father in the Lord said we should go forward. So they started looking for a building and they got one that they liked. A place that was good enough for a habitation of God. Not straightness. God doesn't want us to be in a straight place. No. Well, we can hardly move or breathe comfortably. So they got this building and they said they should go and bring £332,000 before the bank will loan them the remaining 700. The bank gave them that because they never believed that they could get the money. So he came and told me. I said, well, that's good. He said, what should I do? I said, go and tell the church. It is the people in the church that build the church. In the wilderness, there's people in the wilderness that build the tabernacle in the wilderness. So go and tell the church. They will build it. He said, we are 30. I said, God does not need number to prevail. We are two or three are gathered together. I said, there am I in the midst of that. I said, you go forward with it. Go plan with it. Expect God to make the difference. Paul planted, Apollo water. God gave the increase. So he went to the church. I said, 2 Sundays from now, at the end of the service, tell them that we need to get a building of our own. And this is what Reverend George said. I should come and tell you people that the people in the church are the people that are going to build the church. So he went and told them that. He told them, he said, it's not me saying it. Reverend George, who told me to come? He said, and he has told me to tell you this. So he went and shared this. So on the Sunday, he came and said, okay, today is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. So today is the day we are going to collect the resentment. He said, so we need to get £332,000 here today or nobody's going home. Everybody laughed like you laughed. Then a man who was sitting at the back of the church said, excuse me. So the pastor noticed it for the first time. He had not even noticed him before the man raised his hand. The man said, I used to work in them. This country in the West Indies. I was there as a minister for so number of years. And after being a minister for so number of years, he said I retired about 8 years ago. Then I bought a house along this road. He said, and I prayed the very first day I came there that God, please send me a church to this street, because there was no church on the street. He said, because where he was coming from, on Sunday, they don't drive the family and him. What they do is that they walk to church based on Psalm 55 verse 14. We took sweet counsel together. We walked to the house of the Lord in company. He said, so he said that. So the man said, excuse me. He said, and when I prayed to God that day, God said, if you want me to bring a church, I'll bring a church. But any day they talk about church building and they ask for a particular amount, give them the money. God knows those who have the money. The heart of kings are in God's hand. So what happened? After he said that, the man said, so as you have spoken, he said, I have to witness my spirit, and I'm going to give £300,000 cash tomorrow, Monday. He said, I'm going to give 15 minutes to the remaining people here to collect the £32,000, or else I will give it and all the blessing will be mine. In less than 15 minutes, they collected $35,000. The next Monday after that, they paid for the building. They are finished paying for the building in record time. This, about two Sundays ago, yes, I was with them in the church. They have paid for the entire thing. They are now looking at non-property, $3 million. I told them, I said, there is no prophetic word for that one. So the first reason why we need to go forward is because God is commanding you now. Some of you have business ideas, but you have not gone forward with it. You are allowing it to die. The later you act on something God says you should do, the more difficult it is to act on it. So go forward. Jesus spoke to people who, when he spoke to them, they couldn't do what he told them to do, but they did it nonetheless. Mark 2:11, a man paralytic, they opened the roof, they brought him down. Jesus said to the man, arise, take your bed, go. What did the Bible say? The man arose, took his bed, and went. I've used that command again and again whenever God has put it in my heart. So why should we go forward? It's a command, it's an order. Just like when God said, give. He didn't suggest it in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. He said, give. That's all, it's a command. Be ye holy is a command. Follow peace with all men is a command. So why should we go forward? It's an order. He told them, he said, stop crying to me. Stop crying in my face. They're still crying. Oh God, I'm a broke person. The idea that will make you rich already in your heart. What will make you prosper is already given to you. What will make you achieve greatness in life has already been seeded into your heart and your spirit. All you need is what? Go forward. When God told us to go to Tanki, I didn't know anybody. It was only one of our members said, I know a woman, a Muslim who has a school there. Let me talk to her. They talked to this woman, a Muslim. She gave us the school for a whole year. We didn't pay. Eventually, we saw a land that wanted to buy 1.1 million. Even the 100 on top, we could not afford it. We're having a convention like this. Somebody came. He said, God told him that he should raise 1 million naira that night. I kept quiet. I didn't tell him anything. He raised 1 million. We bought the land the next day. The owner of the place happened to be the former manager or the former chairman of Union Bank, an Islamic man, Alhaji Umar Musadi. But the man said, I like your church. I will sell it to you. He said, quick, come on, sign your paper quickly. Because I'm sick, I have asthma, I can die anytime. We finished signing the papers 2 weeks after he died. When God said, go, that is it. It's an order. I want you to receive it. Job 32:22 says, receive, I pray you, the law from his mouth and lay it up in your heart. Job said in Job 23, verse 12, I have esteemed the word of his mouth necessary unto me than my food. Psalm 119, verse 128, I've esteemed your word concern everything to be right. Therefore, it has kept me from every false way. Go how? Forward. Go forward with the exam. Register that company. Go forward. It's an order. God is sending this order to you. He's declaring and decreeing it. You have been thinking about it. For how long will you halt between two opinions? Go! He told them, he said, stop crying to me. It's no longer a matter of crying. It's no longer fasting. Look, fasting has ended. After 50 days of fasting, what do you want to do again? What do you want to do again? Action. Look at your neighbor and say, action.
Action.
That's it. Do something with it. Do something with your gift. Do something with your vision. Do something with your calling. Do something with that idea. Implement it. When I was driven out of my house, The house. I have a house now where I live. I mean, since then I've had so many houses. But in 2002, I had no house. I lived in the same house for 13 years. And because the owner never asked me for rent, he never increased the rent, I decided to stay there. I enjoyed it. As it was in the beginning, so is it now. So forevermore, I became very comfortable. God is the comforter of the afflicted, but is also the afflicter of the comfortable. He came and afflicted me, drove me out of the house. I told the man, please give me 6 months. God told me, he said, go and build your own house. When he spoke to me, I had less than 500,000 in my account. I built a house of 30 million in 83 days. How did it happen? I went forward. Because he's a good for. There is a man in our church, 82-year-old man. He worked for the Kwara State government for 35 years. He never had a piece of land. He stayed in the same house for 27 years. After 27 years, the owner of the house says, look, I want to renovate my house. Leave. Leave my house. Leave my house. I want to renovate. So the man came to me in the house and said, the owner of my house, and was complaining. I should use prayer to scatter the man. I said, what? I said, the prayer I will use is this. You, go and build your own house. Go and build your own. The man was very angry I said that. He said, can you tell me that I should go and build? He said, for 35 years I worked for Kwara State Government. I did not even have a piece of land. He said, I should go. 9 months after I spoke those words, he entered into his own house. He lives in his own house now. So take it as an order. God is ordering that thing. Start the clothing line. Start the internet business. Register that company. Move forward. Go forward.
Amen.
I'm busy complaining. This place is hard. Is there a place that is better? You need to use what you have to get what you need. You have a word from God. As an apple of God in the picture of silver, so is what that is speaking. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not fail. You take that word, put it in your heart, and act on it and see whether it will not work. Peter said to Jesus, if it is you, tell me to come. What did he say? Come. 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 And when he stepped on the sea, it became ice under his feet. And he started walking on it until he allowed fear. Don't allow fear. Number one reason why you need to go forward is because it's a command. Look at your neighbor and say, go forward.
Go forward.
Close your eyes and tell yourself, go forward.
Go forward.
Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. When I preached this message for the first time so many years ago in the lorry, one man changed his name to Forward. His name in those days was Kende. Kende means the person who comes last. So he changed his name to Forward. And you know what? From that day, he has been going forward. 1 Samuel 25:25, as a man's name is, so is he. Tell your neighbor, go forward. You want to have a baby? Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. You want to change jobs? Go forward. You want to resign and start that company because you are persuaded it is right for you to do so? Go forward. Go forward. Number two reason. I'll quickly give you as many as I can give you. Number two reason why you need to go forward is because you are not where you are going yet. Victory House. This is not Victory House. This is a tabernacle in the wilderness. Does this look like Victory House? Is this victorious? Yeah? Does this look... I hope the whole thing will not crash on me. It doesn't. I mean, it doesn't. The real Victory House. With so many areas for expressive ministry. A parking lot. A children's Sunday school. A school. A creche. You know, you can just... I have not seen here. I have not had that. We are saying, let us answer our name. Just answer our name, not that we are going to be a corner church. One corner like that. I was looking for your door when I came. Where is the door? Where is the door to the church? You know, there is a way you enter a church. You say, hey, this is Victory House. I've been to several Victory House, Victory Temple all over the world in Redeem. And when you go there, nobody will tell you this Victory House. They have really been victorious. Look at your neighbor and say, go forward. We are not there. You know, there is this deception based on what we have done, where we are, comparing ourselves to other people. We begin to think we are there. You are not. You are not there yet. Paul said it in Philippians 3:12. Not as though I had already attained or were already perfect. Verse 13, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this is one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind. Reach forward to those things that before. I press towards the mark. Say, I'm going forward. That's what I said. I'm not thinking about I'm going forward. I'm going forward. I'm going forward. Say this with me. I'm going forward. Look at somebody and say, you are going forward. Say, we are going forward. It's not just a command. We are not where we are going. When you are coming to this country, this is not where God said you are going to stop it. It's not having food and raiment, then be ye content. No, no. Several years ago, I was riding motorcycle on the street of Ilorin. Suzuki 100. OY8405Y. It was on that motorcycle I preached that message. You can see that I was preaching with a lot of energy. When you are suffering, that's when you preach. Serious problem. Serious pressure. I said to myself, no. When I entered the lorry, I carried all my belongings in a picnic carton. How many of you remember that? Picnic carton. But I said to myself, no. This is not how everything is going to end. I go forward. Tell your neighbor, say, I go forward. Say it again, I go forward. When you go home today, look at your car and say, I go forward. You this car, I go forward. You will not remain a tenant in the name of Jesus. Yeah. You will go forward. Yeah. You will become not just a landlord of where you live, but a landlord of several houses. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. I go forward. Why? I'm not where I'm going. This was not what God promised you. God did not take you from Nigeria to bring you here. And then you are doing a job that is not good. A job that you are going to remove your uniform outside and wear a coat before you come in. That's not God's plan. Why? I'm not where I'm going. I'm not where I'm going. I'm pressing up the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. In those days, I used to travel economy. You know the Bible says you shall be the head and not the tail. First class is the tail. Economy is the tail. Because first class is the head. Economy is the tail. So I enter into economy. I said, this is not where I'm going. Look at your neighbor and say, this is not where I'm going. It's not where I'm going. In the beginning, my faith was not strong, so I would go to business class. In those days, there was no world traveler. I say, well, this is where the next stop. The next stop is here. And at times, I would sit down there until the hostess goes, what are you doing here? Say, I'm getting familiar with this place. And then when I got to business class, I started going to first class. Whenever I enter, after I put down, I will go to first class. Go around. I said, this is where I belong. I will be the head. He will make me to ride upon the high places. Now, why was I doing that? Go forward. The only place I have not been is inside the cockpit. And at times I visit the cockpit. Why are you in first class? Hello, pilot. How are you doing there? Yeah, I'm here. Seat one. So, oh, okay. How do you guys fly? They'll give me a lecture. You can't call from economy and ask them that question. They will back at you like this. Back. Go back there. A pilot offered me to fly from Ghana in the cockpit. Say, sit down there and watch. Because I was flying first class. You're flying economy. Who bomb monkey? What are you looking for here? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not where I'm going yet. So I have to go forward. I have to move on. I have to keep moving. Number three reason, why should I go forward? So going forward is the only guarantee of not being caught up with by time, by Satan, by age, and by circumstance. The children of Israel needed to go forward because the armies of Pharaoh were behind them. It's the only guarantee. If you don't go forward now, time will catch up with you. I know people that time caught up with here in the U.S. When they should go and do degree, they didn't do it. When they should further their career, they didn't further their career. Today, age has caught up with them. Situation have caught up with them. Circumstances have caught up with them. And they cannot go forward anymore. Because when they should have gone, they didn't go. Going forward is the only guarantee that Satan will not catch up with you. Age will not catch up with you. One of our sisters who made first class in a lorry, she came to the UK. She said, I'm going to go for a degree. I'm going to go for master's, PhD. So I saw her the first year. Go and do this. Sir, I want to work for some time. I want to do something. I said, okay. 3 years later, I saw her. You are still here? I said, yes. Why? He said, I just fell in love. He fell in love? I don't know why they use that word fall when it comes to love. Why not stand in love? Why fall? So he said, I fell in love and have this man in my life. I just want to be with him all the time. I can't go to Southampton or any other part of England for. I said, okay. I saw her 6 years later, pregnant. Have you done the first degree? They said, no, sir. 7 years later. Now she has not done any further degree. She's a full-time mom. When she's not working at home as a full-time mom, she's working in a supermarket, first class in a supermarket. As a somebody pushing machine. I say, you see, sir? A few days ago, I was in Tesco. I didn't even recognize her. She had. When you're supposed to move and you don't move, that's what happens. You disintegrate. You're supposed to move, you don't move, you smell. Stagnant water smells. It breeds worms. I didn't even recognize her. I just buy what I was buying. Then I finished, said, Daddy. I said, who's your daddy? So I looked at her closer. I said, oh, it's you. What happened? So this is where I found myself. If you don't go forward, you have to go forward because if you don't go, time. Moving forward is the only thing that will not make time. Events. Now she has 4 children. With a husband who is very responsible. She will have gone forward since. But she didn't. So time caught up with her. Age caught up with her. Circumstances caught up with her. Situation caught up with her. Let me say this to you. As you are moving, the enemy is not sleeping. So if you don't move when you should move, you will discover you lose the ability to be able to go forward. The things you can do today, you may not be able to effectively do tomorrow. Look at your neighbor and say, go forward. Say it again. Say it again. Say, answer your neighbor and say, I go forward. There are churches I know that should have bought their building years ago, even here in this country, but who have not. Now they are finding it difficult to get a building. So everything there is what? A time and a season to every purpose under the heavens. There is no idea as good as one that the time has come. The word of God tells us in Psalm 32 verse 6, thus shall every godly man pray unto God in a time when it can be heard. Psalm 102 verse 13, that shall arise and have favor upon Zion, for the time to favor her has come. If the children of Israel had not moved when they moved, Satan's Egyptian will have caught up with them. Don't let age catch up with you. You are still a young church, 3 years. This is the time to begin to think about your own place. Not when you are 13. Some churches in this city, 20 years, they are still tenants. What happened? When they should have moved, they did not move. And like they say where I come from, if you stay very long on an excreta, all kind of flies will meet you there. Churches that came 15 years after, 10 years after, 12 years after, have since acquired buildings. So going forward is the insurance against not going backward. Because it's not that at times people go backward, but you go backward when you refuse to go forward when you should have gone forward. Hear me and understand me today. It's time to go forward. Look at your neighbor and say, go forward. Say, go forward. Say, go forward. Say, go forward. And answer and say, I go forward. Say, I go forward. Say, I go forward. I went to a place where they are teaching old people, education, old people's adult classes. And I saw a man, 64, trying to write ABC for the first time. He wrote A. The one leg was in the air. They say, bring down that leg. The person teacher said, bring down that leg. Bring it down. Bring it down. So he brought that leg down and raised the other one. You know the problem? Age has caught up with it. Age has caught. There are some things you cannot do next year. It has to be this year. There are some things you can't do. Stop procrastinating. Boast not yourself of tomorrow. Because you don't know what tomorrow may bring. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. Things get easily and better done when the time has come. Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. It's time to go forward. It's time to seek the Lord. Hosea 10:12. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground. It's time. Tell your neighbor, it's time. Say, it's time. I met a couple years ago. They just got married. And I said, why don't you have children? We want to know each other more. We want to become more close. We want to fellowship with other. These 32 years, they are still fellowship. No child, nothing. No child, nothing. No child. When I saw him, I said, you know, I told you. And that's one of the most painful things for anybody to tell you. You know, I told you. Say, we want to know each other more. We are using medicine. And so by using medicine, the body became configured in a different way. When the time now, they say, we are ready. It was too late. Thou shall arise and have favor upon Zion for the time to favor her. I prophesy, it's your time of favor. I say, it's your time of favor. It's your time of victory. It's your time of settlement. It's your time of progress. It's your time of breaking barriers, exceeding limits. It is time. It is time. It is time. Romans 13:11. Be seated. Say, now it is high time. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. For a church of 3 years to be holding a conference, it means you are ready to go forward. Because most of us, we are still small. We are still small. Small is big if it's put in God's hands. Number four reason why we need to go forward. Because every other person is going forward. You don't go forward, they will leave you behind. They will leave you behind. Churches are acquiring property. Churches are moving ahead. Churches are breaking boundaries, exceeding limits. Churches are doing things that are exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think. Churches are enlarging, conquering territories, influencing society. I think that's your rider. Is it impacting society or something? Churches are doing things though. Churches are going forward. Churches are not, you see, those churches that they call Orthodox churches in those days, Anglican, Presbyterian, they are going forward though. Celestial Church, I went to a program, Celestial Church Christian Fellowship, over 3,000 youth on fire for God. Come and see. Come and see praising God. Come and see joy. They are just like Australian churches. celestial church. See prophecy, tongue and interpretation among young people. Oh, churches are going forward though. I'm telling you, they're going serious. Churches have gone nuclear. Churches are, what churches are doing now are so, churches have hospitals now where they're taking care of people free of charge. They have nursing homes. There are one church in Abuja for 5 Sundays was putting $100 on every seat. About 6,000 people. Every Sunday. They are going forward though. Going forward though. No longer business as usual. There are churches now that on every seat you sit, there is an iPad. When the pastor is preaching, you see it coming in. You follow him. At the end of the service, you write your name on the iPad, you punch it, you go and collect a printed copy of your note. I'm telling you, they are going forward. I'm telling you, they have broken limits. I went to a church in Decatur, in Georgia. After service on Sunday, over 1,500 people, they eat lunch, buffet, every Sunday. Shall we eat buffet here? I did a program there for 3 days. Every day, they were feeding 1,000 dinner. I'm talking about sumptuous dinner. Not only eat and carry home. I said, this is a church. I said, that's why the Bible says, one thing have I desired. And I will dwell in the house all the days of my life. That's the place to dwell. The storehouse is full. Everybody's going forward. Doctors are going forward. You see businesses giving people frisbees. When you come to some churches, they give you frisbee every Sunday. Scholarships. They give you scholarship. They take care of your children. They do things that you can't even imagine. I know a church in Owerri, by one man like that, he sends over 100 members to nursing school every year and pay their fees from beginning to the end. Nursing and midwife school. In fact, if you know what they are doing, their buses from town to church is free. You don't pay anything. They have settlement houses where people can live in free if you are between jobs or you are really homeless. And those are churches. If you hear cities like Zion, here in Illinois, I think here, it was founded by a church. It's a city founded by just like Camp Redeemed. But in the days when they founded it, every place was free. If you come there, you are living there, you don't pay rent. You don't pay bills. You don't pay anything. Zion, Illinois, founded by John Alexander B. Dowie. Churches have gone nuclear. So look at your name and say, go forward. I'm not going to be an Old Testament church. I'm going to be putting on a helmet of righteousness. All those big cap. Then your suit, their lapel will be like a breastplate of righteousness. Don't shoot with lapels. When you see them, you say, oh dear God. Look at your neighbor and say, go forward. Say it again, go forward. Say, we are going forward. Say, we are going forward. Into the land that flow with milk and honey. We are pressing forward. We are going forward. Everybody is going forward. Ministry is no longer as it used to be. In our church now, if you come every first timers, we bought a brand new big coaster bus, fully air conditioned. If you come, there is a dining room. We'll take you there. We'll feed you first after Sunday. And we always feed first time comers, second time comers, third time comers, fourth time comers, and fifth time comers. And every Sunday we expect 100 new people. So you can imagine how much. Some people have never gone past first timers. Every Sunday they are there to eat free food. Then when they finish eating free food, we put them in the air conditioned buses, then we drop them at home with the counselor. The counselor will enter with them into their houses and pray for the family. Next Sunday, everybody is coming. Is that not so? We just say, hey, yeah, welcome. First time comers. You welcome second time comers? Third time comers? Fourth time comers? Fifth time comers? When someone comes to your church 5 times, that person has made up their mind to stay. We need to think of taking everything forward. Not just give them a Fanta and cookies. No. Real food. When they finish it, they say, this is free. For the next 5 weeks, it's free. You can keep coming. Of course, they usually become grander after 5 Sundays of eating free food. Where are you going again? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, go forward. Say, go forward. That idea you have lost, give it legs. That business concept, give it an expression. That program, let's have it. Let it happen. Give it legs. Look at your neighbor and say, go forward. Say, go forward. Say, I go forward. That's it. Two more points here. Yeah? Your money has actually finished. But another reason why we need to go forward is that we need to go forward because now we have his assistance and his support. He told Moses, he said, go forward. When they went forward, there was the sea. What happened? The sea opened up. When God told me to go forward with my building, I went ahead and people supported me financially. A member of our church, God gave her a beautiful idea. She had that idea. She was ready to. She was complaining. Yeah, I don't know. So she came to me and I said, what are you still doing? She was retired. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm still at home. I said, what are you doing at home? He said, I have this idea and I don't know. I said, God, who gave you the idea? I said, God. I said, go forward. She went the next day, registered the company, started looking for accommodation. She did not have the money. When she got the place she wanted, they took her to the place. The person that owned the property was somebody she had always known and done good to. The person gave it to her free of charge. Dad was waiting, only waiting for her to do what? Go forward. One of my sons in the ministry was starting. He started ministry in England. And they came to me and said, Dad, I want to start my ministry. He told me about 3 years later. I said, you have not started? I said, yes. I said, go and look for a building. So he got a building owned by an Indian man. And so he came to me and said, I've seen the building, sir. So what do we do? I said, go and tell the man that I said he should give it to you for free. Now, I didn't buy the warehouse. I said, go and tell the man that I told you that he should give it to you for free for 6 months because you are like his son. He said, I should go and tell him. I said, go and tell him. Whosoever shall see unto this mountain, be thou removed. You see, many times when you receive a prophetic word, you are still afraid. Isaiah 9:8. He said, God gave the word to Jacob, and it became the light within which Israel traveled. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. He went to the man. He told the man. He said, well, I've come back. The man said, with the money? He said, no. He said, my father, who will have paid, said I should tell you that he doesn't have the money now, but as a father yourself, you can allow me to use the place for 6 months. The man said, why not? Like, why not? The man gave it to him for 6 months. All God was waiting for what? Go forward. Help is waiting. Help is here. But help is only available when you step into the water. Peter, he said, if it is you, tell me to come. He said, ah, come. Put the leg and the thing solidify under his feet. We have toiled all night. We got nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, we do what? We throw in the net. You have received the word. Whatever you do with it becomes your own responsibility. The word has come out of his mouth in righteousness. God has sent me to you with his word. Luke 16:17, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than for a jot or a tittle of God's law to fail. There is a church, Pastor Emmanuel knows this, in Maryland. When I went there in 1997, the pastor was doing security work under the assistant pastor's office. I didn't know. He just invited me from Nigeria, bought me ticket, business class ticket. So when I came, we had the first service, 30 adults, 20 children, very prolific adults, producing children. So the Monday, I woke up in the morning and I said, where is he? So he left a note on the dining table that he's gone to work. Ah. So I called his cell phone. Hello? Where are you? He said, I'm somewhere. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm working. Working what? He said, security work. Security work? I knew you in Nigeria. You were a millionaire in Nigeria when I knew you. Now, I've come to this church here to minister. He said, God is asking you to do security work. Oh, you are doing security work. I said, come home. So he came home, fully kitted, from head to toe. I said, what? I said, God did not bring you here to despise or ridicule. It was an upward movement for you to come here, not a downward movement. I said, I know this is not what God wants for you. I was in that church for 2 weeks. 426 people got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. At the end, the last Sunday, I gave an altar call for those who are going to join the church. 146 people joined that church. Today, that church is over 1,005. But I told him that day, I said, you have to promise me that you're not going to go back to that work. He said, I also known that that's not what I should be doing. I said, why are you doing it? He said, well, I have to do it. Why are you doing it? I said, take the bull by the horn. Go forward. Took the bull by the horn. He went forward. Today is a billionaire, not a millionaire. What am I saying? The word has come out of his mouth in righteousness. God will never ask you to go forward if assistance and support is not already guaranteed. Look at your neighbor and say, go forward. I want to think about people who after this program will go forward. You go and register that complaint. You will register for that exam. You take that initiative. You will take that effort. You will move with fear. Don't cry again. Don't cry again. No more pain. Begin to get organized because the next level is about to be served. Look at your neighbor and say, go forward. Say, I go forward. One last reason why you need to go forward is because you need it. How many of you need to go forward? I need it. You need to go from being an employee to becoming an employer. You need to go from being the tail to being the head. You need to go from being defeated to being victorious. You need to go from being a cubicle church to a temple, a house of habitation, a place of dominion. You know, there are some churches when you go, even seeing the building alone, you want to become a member. The building alone. I know some people who come to the front of our church now, in our church in the lorry, and they take picture there. When we were under a shed, who come and take picture in the shed? In fact, some people, when they come out to taxi, they don't want you to know that they want to enter the church. They don't want you to know that that's the church they are going. But now they want to come. When we tell them to, when we make a shirt and we put the brand of the church on it, they wear it everywhere. But in those days, even to have a sticker of the church on their Bible, they don't say, I said, why the sticker of the church not on your Bible? I said, Daddy, everything there is a tie. But now they put vest, they put logo proudly, Remite, because that's a brand. Look at your neighbor and say, go forward. There is coming a time in this city when Victory House will be a household name. And that will be soon and very soon. Sooner than you can expect. Sooner than you can think. From the north, the south, the east, and west of the direction of this church, God will bring them in. Male and female, young and old, poor and rich, mighty men of valor from all walks of life, in the name of Jesus. Say, I go forward. Look at somebody and say, you go forward too. Say, we go forward. Say, we are all going forward. Before you can enter your land of destiny, you must leave the place of your comfort. Where you are now looks like fine, but there is a better place waiting. Across the road, stretch yourself. Make the effort. You are looking at the difficulties. You are looking at the armies of Pharaoh. You are looking at the Red Sea. They are bread for you. God wanted to ride upon them to the other side where he's taking you. I say go forward. I say go forward. I say go forward. I say, go forward. Amen. Go forward. Amen. Go forward. Amen. Now, let me say this to you. Going forward is not just an action, it's a process. You have to keep going. Every day, begin to think forward. Think forward. Think forward. What can we do in this church to better? What can we introduce? What can we come up with? What can I do to better my career? What can I do to improve? What can I do? Think forward. Then associate with those who are going forward. Anybody who's not going to go forward is a baggage. Anybody thinking about where we came out from is not interested in where we are going. When your mind is on the past, you have no place in the future. A man of God by the name of D.L. Moody said, God has no place in the future. For those who think back, look back, and act back. The best part of your life is in the future. Victory House, you are victorious in Christ. All your needs will be met according to his riches. The Lord your God will not fail you. The Lord God will connect you with helpers and partners of destiny. Sustainers and enablers will locate you. Whatever area of your life where you need assistance, receive assistance. Receive support. Receive nourishment. But above everything, go forward. Take a step forward. Say, I go forward. That's right. Glory be to God. Take it again. I go forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As a couple, discuss it at home today. We are going to go forward. We are going to come up with something. We are going to do something different. We are going to follow a different path. We are going to exercise a different energy. I go forward. Lift up your hands. Precious Father, you know these people. You know their uprising. You know their downstream. You know their thoughts are far off. There is nothing about them that you are not aware of. Whatever limitations, obstructions, or hindrances currently stand in their way, obstructing their view and their effort, we command them to give way in the name of Jesus. We say, give way in the name of Jesus. 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 They're not going to be static. They're not going to be stagnant. They're not going to go around in circles. They're not going to follow or drop the majority. They're not going to wander. They're not going to go backward. They're not just going to go forward. They will go forward according to the capacity they have. In the name of Jesus, go forward. Every one of you, go forward. According to your capacity, go forward. According to your abilities, go forward. According to your destiny, go forward. Into your land of destiny. So shall it be. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come and give the Lord a big hand.